what enormously wide range of systems, particle systems, and even molecular systems exist in the universe. But whenever conditions are suitable, like on the surface of a planet such as Earth, these already structured molecular and supramolecular systems pull together. They emerge under conditions which I will say a few words about in a minute. And out of this emerges then the next level of simple organisms, the protobions, the protocells, the precursors of life. When once this has occurred, and it has occurred in a surprisingly short time after the Earth was formed, perhaps already a billion years, and this is about, we're talking about 5 billion years total, and perhaps already after a billion years that the Earth was formed, these life forms have emerged. It's not an accident. It can't be accidental. People are nowadays saying very strongly, biologists will tell you, there's not enough time for a random process to bring up life. It must have been a purpose, must have been something embedded in the nature of the universe that allows these higher level systems to come about as soon as conditions are ripe. And so biological systems emerge on the second level. And when these systems achieve a certain level of complexity, they begin to interact, and it can happen, although probably elsewhere in the universe need not happen in every case, that mind, consciousness, self-awareness emerges, and the systems that form are not merely social systems such as the colonies of ants or bees, but also socio-cultural systems, systems that can know themselves, know the universe, and can have an inkling of their creator. Thank you. Let's go on to the next one. So look at this series of systems that emerge. Because if you do look at them, you will immediately see the unity of nature, the unity of creation, if you like. Because the systems themselves move from level to level, while each level continues to exist. From particles to atoms, to molecules, to macromolecules, to the protozoa, metazoa, the complex systems, to ecological systems, and to social systems. We as individuals are metazoa, we are multicellular systems ourselves. We live within ecosystems, we live in the embrace of nature, and we live within sociocultural systems, which is ultimately the society that embraces all human beings, the global society. What happens is that as evolution progresses, given time, given much time, but it does speed up, as I'll say in a moment. The strongly bonded particles, the units that are very strongly bonded, like the elementary particles, the atoms, they get integrated in higher and higher level systems, which are less strongly bonded, but more flexible, more complex, more creative. You know what happens when you break apart an atom. We all know that. When it happens like it did in Chernobyl, we are all rather worried about it in an uncontrolled fashion. But when it's controlled, of course, you can use this energy. But it's an enormous energy in a tiny, tiny sub-microscopic system. If you break apart a molecule, the energy released is much less. If you break apart the human being, the energy that's released is so small that it won't even register on an instrument, but we do know that it was there. Because all of the integral unity of an organism that makes it one system, it disappears and the cells and molecules dissolve, decay into their own level. If you break apart a social system, there is suffering, but it's still the energy that binds it is looser, is lesser. However, there is more complexity, there is more freedom, there is more possibility of adjustment the higher you go on these levels. So basically, what I want to demonstrate here to you is a unity of nature, a unity that includes the human being, includes human society, and that ultimately takes us from the quarks, from the most minute particles that were created in the first microseconds of the existence of the universe. It takes us through evolution, evolution on Earth and perhaps on other planets, toward a society that encompasses all of the systems on that planet in a single unity. And of course, this could be none other than the society of all of the higher level societies, all human societies, all the ecologists as their life-giving environment, that is, the global society. Let me go on now to one other factor here, which is important to note. Just how systems form on these various organizational levels. Scientists have observed that when sufficiently complex components, such as heavy molecules, protocells, cells, are exposed to a flow of energy, when you immerse them in a flow of energy, they tend to become organized in such a way that they incorporate these energies, make use of them. Here I must insert one well-known factor, which, however, we often tend to forget. Is that if you want to keep anything going, whether it's your car, your body, your parliament, or whatever, you have to constantly replenish it, because it does use energy, it does use information, or energy organizes information. Every time you move, you dissipate, you use up energies. You take in fresh air, you breathe, you take in oxygen, you take in nourishment, you take in free energies by that means. So we exist in a flow of energy. Where does this flow come from? It comes from the sun. Almost all organisms today, except some newly discovered deep sea organisms that live on geothermal energy, but there are very few of those, all other forms of life live on solar energy. And we live in this flow which is translated by primitive photosynthetic organisms into the green leaf, which is being eaten by other animals. The other animals are eaten by still others, etc., until we get to the highest level predators. And it all forms a system. The point I'd like to make first is that these many systems form cycles, self-maintaining cycles, which constantly replenish the energies that are being used up, so that they maintain themselves. That's a precondition of evolution. If you would close, I'm sorry, I just interjected this point and I go back to my text in a moment. If you would close up this room, hermetically seal it, what would happen? Well, we are hopefully a nice intercommunicating group at the present time. We like to think together, we like to feel together. But close it up. Not all the goodwill in the world could keep us alive. You see, the air would gradually be used up. You see, the temperature would equalize around our body temperatures, which we could live this, but it would be rather warm. Ultimately, we would die, and ultimately all our bodies would decay and dissolve to the stable components. Why? We have to take in, not only have to take in nourishment, we have to take in air. We have to take in all of the things that maintain us alive. And of course, if a community, such as the Baha'i community or a Christian or whatever community, is to maintain itself, it also has to feed constantly on information, on new inputs, which it does, which in your case is, I think, is revelation. So we are open systems. We maintain ourselves in this flow. And the only way we can stay put is by evolving, by using these inputs to improve ourselves, to evolve further. Let me have the next one. There was another famous physicist, Manfred Eigen, still alive today, he's a relatively young man, who has discovered that even at the very basis of life, the way these nucleic acids that code the cells, the organisms, the most basic mechanisms of life, the way these are organized is in these cooperative cycles. They constantly break in, bring in energy, and one thing leads to another. For example, if you look at one of those circles, you will find that it has, according to the arrow, it has the information necessary to reproduce itself. But not only will it reproduce itself, it will also catalyze, or produce rather in this case, an enzyme, airbox, and this enzyme in turn will catalyze the production of another nucleic acid. But aside from the complexity of this particular example, you can apply it to any human group, for example. We not only maintain ourselves, we also bring out ideas that help other people maintain themselves. On institutions are interacting. One thing maintains itself, maintains something else at the same time. So that these cycles, when they form, they create a system. And these higher level systems are the ones that exist in the universe and that can evolve into still higher and higher levels of complexity. And as you will see in a moment, let me just add at this point, that these cycles are the ones that we must create on the global level, on the international level, if we are to have a global society. Because they are lacking as yet. Each society is enclosed in its own circle. We do not move outside of it yet, or not in any dependable way. Let me get to the next one. You see, if you look at the way all life is organized on Earth, you will find that in general terms, it is organized in terms of these cycles. Energy flows from the sun. And you see, the biosphere is that rather uneven circle, which is about as even as I could make it by this pencil. This is the biosphere. Within the biosphere, energy reaches the plants. The plants are food for animals, which are food for other animals, etc. Everything is used. Even the dead bodies of plants or animals fertilize the soil. And even in decay, they feed new life. Everything is used except some waste energy, which already, when the solar energy is having been used, is, as the physicists call it, degraded, a lower level of energy, as waste heat is radiated off, and is radiated off into space. And the whole biosphere is a kind of a living, breathing organism that uses the solar energy, maintains itself, and evolves its subsystems. Evolves them into greater and greater unity, into greater and greater inter-existence, coexistence. It does this in nature. The global ecology is one unit. Then comes man, creates societies, which breaks up nature for selfish purposes, you see. And what we have to decide now is how to create out of these many selfish, self-centered units, whereby the global ecology has been broken up into these local ecologies at war with one another, how this can be put together again into a global unity, which will be the highest level of unity that we can achieve on Earth. Before getting back to the Baha'i writings and another figure, let me just add an additional factor. The way evolution progresses is through alternating phases of stability and instability. This is the key factor. If all systems in the world were to come into being with total or sufficient stability to withstand all changes in the environment, then the world would still be populated by hydrogen atoms and hardly anything else. evolution unfolds precisely because the systems that emerge in its course are not stable. They can be disturbed. They can be moved out of these stable states. They can be destabilized. Many, many experiments now confirm that when a critically destabilized system is produced in the laboratory, it enters a transitory phase characterized by indeterminacy, by randomness, some degree of chaos. But this chaotic phase comes to an end when the same destabilized system settles into a new mode of organization, possibly and very often on a higher level of organization. Complex systems that appear in the real world always have these multiple possibilities for achieving a new kind of stability. When one of these steady states is disturbed, other steady states, other stable states can become accessible. And there is a simple law, a simple regularity that's discovered in the sciences. The further the systems are from a state of equilibrium, and here very specific equilibrium is meant, not psychological balance, but thermodynamic equilibrium, which means that there is no new energy possibility, no flow of energy, no gradient of energy. Everything is equalized. If you would close this room, as I said a moment ago, totally, after X number of days or perhaps weeks, we would be in equilibrium. That means all there will be no differences between you and me. We will all be decaying to the same level. Temperature would be the same. And this kind of unity we don't need. But the further we are from this equilibrium, from this absolute uniformity, the more dynamic we are, the more choices there are for us to find new ways of organizing ourselves. Let me look at the next figure. On the left of this, you'll find the area where supposedly we are closest to equilibrium. As we move to the right, we move further away from equilibrium. We become more dynamic. Okay? Now, there are long periods during which nothing much happens. A system is stable, for example, in its environment. A society can be stable. A species is unchanged. A hydrogen atom in the vast reaches of some galaxy remains the same. As you move toward in time, there could be a point in which this stability is disrupted. And something new emerges. A critical instability occurs. Then the system can move into another phase. It's called the so-called phase change occurs. Another state is occupied by the system, and this state is further from equilibrium. It's a more complex state. And the further you go, the more frequently these destabilizations occur, and the greater the number of alternatives available. Just think of how many alternatives there are for a hydrogen atom in the universe. You know, if you take in any high school physics class, that the hydrogen can transform into helium. And the complex processes can further transform into deuterium, etc. But basically, there's not much choice for a poor hydrogen atom once it's destabilized inside the sun, for example, in an extremely hot environment. However, if you take an organism, how many mutations are available to a biological species? How many new kinds of species could evolve? If you take a society, look at the enormous range of possibilities. Possibly all of the societies in history are just an infinitely small segment of the possible types of societies and cultures that we could develop on Earth. We have hardly begun this enormous development. This is why I think it's quite right when it's stated in the Baha'i writings that we are just in the age of adolescence. We have hardly explored what it is to be an adult in that sense. So, let's have the next one. So let me conclude this part now and then just say a few more things afterwards before ending. By trying to put these things together, the unity of nature, which encompasses the unity of humanity and the unity of society. Moving from level to level,